Introducing Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB, AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Tim Cyclesman-Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on Cyclesman.com. He's speaking to us from Gulf Shores, Alabama. Welcome back to the show, Tim.
Jim, as always, thanks for having me.
Tim, is the Dow going to have a Santa Claus rally this year?
Well, I think that's what's been underway. I don't know if it's going to continue into into Christmas, pardon the lingering cough, but we can walk through that. We, you know, I know statistically and cyclically and structurally that we had an intermediate term low in October. It fell on the early side of the timing band for that low, but it was within the normal expectation. And that intermediate term low has produced one heck of a rally. But within the context of that rally, the evidence still suggests that the January top marked the four-year cycle top. In fact, you know, I have indicators that have, long-term indicators that have turned down that suggest that not only is it the four-year top, but a top of a much higher degree. So what I'm trying to say is that within the context of that higher degree setup and higher degree turn, I think this rally is counter trend. It should be counter trend. There's no statistical precedence. I went through the data and explained it in great detail in the newsletter, this last research letter. There's no statistical precedence for the October low to have marked a four-year cycle low. If it did, then it would mean that it was the shortest four-year cycle in the history of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. I suppose that's possible, but it would be a first. So statistically, odds are against it from that angle. And there's a number of other statistics that suggest this should be countertrend. Doesn't mean it's not, but every indication is that it should be countertrend. And so that's the expectation. In the meantime, still have an intermediate term buy signal, and the rally is what the rally is. It's got to run its course. If we should prove to push to a new high, I don't think it matters at all with regard to the higher degree setup in conjunction with the biggest bubble in history. You know, based on the statistics, again, that's not the expectation. I'm just saying, should it happen, should we prove to see a first with this being the shortest four-year cycle in the history of the industrials, you know, I think it would still be within the context of that higher degree setup. So I don't think we're going to escape that. But anyway, that's where we're at. And until I get an intermediate term sell signal, I'm expecting, you know, higher prices. We can't rule out higher prices.
Mm-hmm. With that kind of environment, do you sit back or do you buy dips? How do you deal with it?
Well, you don't know how, it's a crystal ball question to know how far this rally is going to run. Like I said, you have 2 degrees that, to simplify it, we have 2 degrees that we're looking at here. Longer term, it's every indication is 4 year cycle. I mean, I have no question in my mind. It's rock solid. We saw a 4 year cycle top in January. And so based on that, you know, every indication is, and the fact that it's too short to have ideally been a 4 year cycle low, it's got to be counter trend. Well, it doesn't have to be counter trend. Every indication suggests that it's counter trend. So based on that, yeah, we're counter trend. But how high is it going to go? Is it going to go? I don't have a measure for that. I don't know, and I don't know. You know, until I get a sell signal, you know, it's just got a green light to go higher. So that's something that I'm following, and when I want to get the signal, get the signal, and then watch for the structure and then some solid confirmation that it's turned. And, of course, that's what I follow day-to-day in the updates and in the research letter.
Why has there been such a divergence on what's happening between the Dow, the NASDAQ, and the S&P 500?
I'm not sure what you're talking about. How do you
well,
mean?
Well, you know, the high-tech stocks have really taken a beating, whereas things that are staple supplies, commodities, seem to have a little more of a positive give to them. Why has high-tech all of a sudden no longer, or why is high-tech no longer the darling? Is it just a cycle, mismanagement, over-optimism?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think what it is, from my perspective, it is leading. There's always leaders at turns. There's always leaders at bottoms. And I think that it's simply, as I look at it, cyclically, they're leading. You know, commodities, equities led commodities. You know, equities peaked in January, and commodities, I started seeing evidence of the peak in April, and then I think the CRB finally peaked. If I remember right, it was in May or June. And so, It's just a matter of, you know, it's like the train. One car is in front of the other. Which one turned first? And now, to that note, I'm seeing that, commodities, you know, this bounce in commodities, we saw a low in September, October, depending on what you're looking at. In most of the commodities, they've bounced, right along with equities, but they've been weaker. Their advance has been weaker. So, you know, I think we're seeing basically the same cyclical rhythm. It's a matter of which sector is the weakest. And, you know, another point on that, you may or may not remember this, but we did talk about it, and it's published in one of the letters. But I think it was either November or December, of 21. I don't remember if you asked. I know a subscriber asked, and so I did a piece on it in one of the research letters looking at Bitcoin. You know, and that's been in the news lately. But I said back then, like I said, in print, in the letter, that Bitcoin had peaked based on the cyclical evidence that the four-year cycle top was in and that equity should follow. And sure enough, the four-year cycle top proved to be in place in Bitcoin and equities followed. So, again, that's another example, I think, of what you're saying of the non-confirmation or divergence, however you want to see it. And when you look at it from, you know, through that cyclical lens, you see which one is leading, and you can also see which one is weaker or stronger. And then understanding the cycles of the various degrees helps you put it in perspective as to if it should be countertrend or not.
We'll have more with Tim Cyclesman Wood right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Tim Cyclesman Wood. Tim, the U.S. inflation rate a little bit less than was expected. Is this going to prompt the Fed to slow down its interest rate hike cycle?
Well, I don't connect those two dots necessarily, because I have been of the opinion, and based on data, which I have covered, that this interest rate hiking cycle that this inflationary cycle has been non-monetary. It's just, we've talked about that before. It may be a hard concept for somebody to grasp, but it's supply chain driven. It's not monetary. And evidence of that is that we've seen not only the longest or the high, we saw the highest percentage advancing 3-year cycle in the history of the CRB, and we also saw the dollar index going up with it. And so that, you know, history absolutely shows that the cyclical rhythm in the CRB, the longer-term cyclical rhythm with the 3-year cycle, they're opposite. You know, they move in opposition, not together. So I think that's one clear measure that this has been supply chain driven. As far as them cutting interest rates or the slowing down on the hike, I think yes. I mean, I'm surprised that, number one, that, you know, the market has been able to withstand or the economy has been able to withstand the rate hikes that we've seen. That's been one thing that I have really, did not expect, that we would be this far down the road with the continued rate hikes. But this rate hiking cycle, if you'll recall, I saw something, and it doesn't invalidate the signal in any means. It to the contrary, it shows how unusual this rate hiking cycle was. If you'll recall, back in February, I saw, before the first rate hike ever began, there's a phenomenon. I don't know how else to explain it. Something else I cover or have covered in the research letters, but we saw this phenomenon that marked the top of a rate hiking cycle before the first rate hike ever began. And historically, either it marked the top of the cycle, the rate hiking cycle, or there would be, like, I think at most there was two rate hikes. And then here we are this far down the road. So they really pushed rates much higher in the face of that. And so, I think we are getting probably to the end. Are we there? I don't know. I will get signals when we see that, but I do think they are going to be slowing. And, when we see some of the short-term T-bill turn down, I think that's going to be a significant event. The other thing, cyclically, looking at the long-term cycles in bonds, we've seen one of the longest three-year cycles there in the history of the bond market. So it's somewhat stretched. We should be moving into a low. We may have that low finally. I thought that it was trying to bottom in June. It didn't hold. It failed. We pushed down again. And so we may have that low. So the point there being that when the long bond, that 3-year cycle low bottoms in the long bond, interest rates will peak, and that'll start to give a footing for the turning of interest rates. And I realize the long end is different than the short end, but they'll eventually swing around. And, it'll change the course of the tide, if you will, and be a footing for a turn of interest rates. So I see us getting in that zone. Are we there quite yet? I'm not sure. I do expect them to slow the rate based on what I see, the spread between the T-bill rate and the Fed funds rate, the discount rate. I do see a slowing in the rate hike that they'll probably make in December, yes.
What do you see happening with the U.S. dollar?
The U.S. dollar. We have seen, talk about things we haven't, firsts. Let me preface this for a minute. Remember I said just a minute ago that we had seen the longest, we've seen the greatest, the highest percentage advancing 3-year cycle in the history of the CRB. We have seen the dollar, that was a first, we've seen the dollar go up in conjunction with that advance in the CRB. That's a first. We have seen this rate hiking cycle, rates continue higher in the face of this phenomena that, this signal, if you will, that has always occurred at the top of a rate hiking cycle, and this time it occurred at the bottom before a rate hiking cycle ever even began, and they continue to raise into it. That's a first. And so we have all these firsts that we've never seen before. And, I have some theories of why that is, and I think in a word you could sum it up into one word and call it, the environment we're in and manipulation. But that said, we've also seen a first with the dollar. And coming out, there's an intermediate term cycle of approximately a year in duration. And since the inception of the dollar index, we have seen the longest advancing cycle of that degree in the history of the dollar index. And finally, we got an intermediate term sell signal back in October, and that intermediate term top, it was the week of October 24th, an intermediate term sell signal, and we got that an intermediate degree top, and I think There's an intermediate term cycle. It's still classified as intermediate term, but of slightly longer degree. I think that cycle finally topped. And this puts the dollar at risk of the 4-year top. Now, I'm not willing to say we've seen that 4-year top yet. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying it is an opportunity because of those higher degree cycle tops. So once we establish this next intermediate term low, the rally coming out of that low is going to tell us. But in short, to give you an answer, is where we are today, we've seen an intermediate term top, and I cannot yet say that we've seen the intermediate term low. It should still lie ahead. What develops, what's the structure that comes in the wake of the decline into that intermediate term low, and then the bounce that, the structure of that intermediate term cycle advance coming out of that low is going to tell the tale as to have we seen the four-year cycle top.
What's the story for gold?
Like all the commodities, it's, we had an intermediate degree low in October. Well, actually, in gold, depending on which contract you're looking at, some of them bottomed in September, there was October, and some November. So it's, we kind of had like a little double, triple bottom retest of the low. So depending on exactly what you're looking at. But we've had an intermediate degree low there. And again, just like everything else, we've seen an intermediate term advance. And in the case of gold, relative to, say, equities, it's weak. Look at the advance out of that intermediate term low in equities. It's been very strong. But in gold, not so much. And so, again, just like I was saying about the CRB, same thing there. We've had an intermediate degree bounce the last few months, but the advance has been weak. And I see the same thing in gold.
What's going on with crude?
Same thing, exact same thing. Crude oil, in fact, we had an intermediate degree low. Let me look at a chart real quick. It was in September, October. Yes, it was in September. And we've actually breached that low, and now we have another short-term low. And I think that intermediate-term advance has already failed. But, I'll give it the benefit of the doubt here that maybe it double-bottomed. And I don't have all the data on that yet. But regardless, this advance should be, or any further advance, let me say it that way, should be counter-trend and followed by continued weakness.
Tim, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on?
No, that's pretty much it. I think interest rates, I've said all along in my research letter, that interest rates are key. This interest rate hiking cycle has been helped along, if you will, and it's been extended. And I suspect that as the slowing of the interest rate hiking is seen, and maybe even as they do their pivot, it's inevitably it's coming. That may be perceived as positive in the short term, but it is not. I think that is going to be the last hurrah if we get a hurrah out of it, and it's going to conclude something I call my checkmate chart. And what we're seeing is the setup of the largest bubble in history, and all these firsts that I talked about that we've seen. All these things, this interest rate hiking cycle ongoing like it's been, these are all pieces, parts of the setup falling in place. And that's what we're seeing. And because it's such a large bubble, I think it's taking a heck of a long time for all those pieces, parts to fall in place. But still, it's within the context of a higher degree setup, I think.
Tim, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yes, sir.
My guest has been Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on cyclesman.com. If you have any questions for Tim or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.